Joining us now, he's the head golf professional down at the FedEx St. Jude Classic. Nick Kenneke joins us from TPC Southwind. What's going on, my man?
Not too much. Happy to be back.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, no, we're excited for this year's FedEx St. Jude Classic. It's going to be the 60th edition of the golf tournament, and the field is shaping up to be a pretty good one.
Now, what is the 60th anniversary? What do we have to buy you for that? Is that cardboard? What is 60th?
Is it platinum? I could use a new driver. Okay. Think you guys can ship me one?
All right, so perhaps it's titanium?
Yeah. How about PXG?
Ooh, PXG wedges? Don't those things cost like, you know, $1 million a piece or something?
Well, with the way I hit a wedge, I don't think it's worth $1 million.
So, yeah, I mean, is there any special celebrations being prepared for the 60th?
Yeah, there's a couple of keynote performances from some musical artists. Don't want to burst any bubbles yet, but it's definitely going to be a very good show. We're actually going to be hosting some junior events throughout the course of the week as well that we haven't done in the past. So a lot of really cool, new, neat things are going to be going on during tournament week, and we're excited for it.
Well, I mean, historically, this event, I mean, your tie-in with St. Jude's and obviously locally with FedEx, it just creates – it's such a great event for the community. How do you keep it fresh after 60 years?
Well, you know, we've over the last couple of years, the tournament office, the FedEx St. Jude Classic tournament office, has hired some really good personnel that have kind of played a role in making that fresh and new component year in and year out. You know, Daryl Smith, the tournament director, and his team do a fantastic job running and organizing this event. And, you know, it's really a pleasure to kind of work with that team and see what they do each and every year. You know, kind of on our end, we just try to make that experience for the PGA Tour players, you know, one of the best ones they have all year. You know, from the practice facility experience down to the food and beverage and dining areas. And we're looking forward to another one. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Any changes from last year to the golf course? I mean, you know, we're sitting here in Charlotte, and we know Quail Hollow. It seems like they rip up, you know, six holes every year before the Wells Fargo Championship now with the PGA here this year. Any significant changes or kind of status quo from a golf course preparation standpoint?
Kind of status quo. You know, we took a few trees out on number 3, a couple on 15, but, you know, nothing major. You know, all of our changes are going to happen after the golf tournament. We're actually redesigning the 8th green at the end of June. We're redoing the fairway on number 15, and we're actually going to redesign the back portion of the green on number 14. But all that's going to be post-tournament, and you guys will see that in the 61st edition of the FedEx St. Jude Classic.
Well, and as you guys get ready for this one, and your agronomy guys are preparing the course, and the, you know, the tour is going to come in and do their thing, how has the weather been this offseason? Did you guys have anything particularly wet, particularly dry, particularly hot that's going to affect the way the course is set up and the way it'll play?
You know, that's a great question. It's actually been a pretty interesting winter and spring. We had a very mild winter. We actually did a record number of rounds in the month of February. March and April were rather wet from a rain standpoint. We actually had some of the most rain I think we've had in the past few years in the month of April, you know, which kind of led to some weeks where you had some cold snaps, and it kind of hindered the growing of the grass a little bit. But, you know, overall, we're in a very good spot. Golf course has made a really good turn in the last couple weeks. Greens have tightened up, and everything has kind of started to pop. We go cart path only at the beginning of May, and that usually helps from a growing standpoint as well, kind of getting to that tour level. And, you know, like you said, a lot of support from headquarters has been coming up the last couple of weeks and helping us along in the growing process. And, you know, right now we've got a really good product, and we're excited for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not your first rodeo, obviously, in the 60th year. I'm curious if, you know, over the time that you've been there, have you seen the PGA's approach to setting up your course different and seen it change over the years, or do you think it'll play pretty consistently year to year based on what they're expecting to get out of it?
I think it'll play pretty consistently. I think the only times you see those kinds of changes are when something structurally has changed to the golf course, whether it's, you know, the redesign of a hole or, you know, the rebuilding of a green. You know, obviously in 2018, when we have a new green complex on number 8, there's going to be some different setup changes there. The same with 14 after redoing that back portion. But, you know, other than that, I think the tour is very satisfied with the way the golf course plays. I mean, it last year, I think eight or ten under ended up winning with Daniel Berger being our champion, which is a very fair score. It means the golf course is holding its own and providing a good challenge for those players.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the last few years the scores kind of fluctuated, you know, within two or three strokes each year. So obviously it's very consistent. It's playing, you know, condition-wise, playing very consistent. And again, we're speaking with Nick Kenneke, the head golf professional down at TPC Southwind. So kind of give our listeners, if they haven't really paid too much attention to the coverage, what should they be looking for in this golf course? I mean, are we looking for wide open? Are we looking for tree line? I see a little bit of a combination of both, don't I?
Yeah, you do. You know, on the front nine, you'll have more of that tree line structure throughout the course of the front nine. And then when you get to the back nine, it kind of opens up a little bit, and you have a ton of water. A lot of water hazards on that back nine, starting with the creek that runs through number 10. 11 is a island par 3. They kind of got the root of its design from the island green at TPC Sawgrass. And then you have significant water hazards on 12, 14, 17, and then obviously the finishing hole of number 18. So a lot of dramatic shot making down the stretch, which will be really exciting for the viewers as they see guys, you know, trying to make birdies and catch up to the leaders and even a leader defending a one, two, or three shot lead. Nothing is safe on that back nine, and definitely poses a lot of dramatic events, if you will, and some exciting golf down the stretch.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to play a little over 7,200 yards, and I'm curious, the drama at the end can be lessened by a strong performance at the beginning. Are there scoring opportunities on the front nine that might set guys up that they can avoid a catastrophe on the back if they're scoring well enough?
Yeah, absolutely. There's definitely some birdie holes on that front nine, you know, especially in the first five or six holes. You know, three is a good birdie opportunity. That's the first par five on the golf course. Two is a short par four before that. You'll see a lot of guys birdie in six as they kind of, you know, either hit some type of fairway wood to the corner and then, you know, knock a wedge or a nine iron onto the green. The middle part of the golf course has got some teeth. You know, seven's a very difficult par four. Eight's obviously not the easiest par three in the world. And then number nine is our number one handicap hole. It's, you know, it's a downhill dogleg right par four with a tremendously difficult second shot into a very narrow green over water. And then, you know, like we talked about before, there's that water and hazard component on the back nine. So you got to make your birdies early. You got to survive the middle part of the round. And then hit some really good shots coming down the stretch.
All right, so if your leaders are playing together and they make the turn and they're tied and the stressful holes are coming up, where do you see that one might blink first?
Probably number 11.
It won't take long.
Three. Yeah. You get the wind whipping a little bit on that hole, and it can be very difficult to judge that yardage and try to knock one close, if not on the green at all. So that's probably where you'd see your first blood drawn, so to speak. And that island green's a lot of fun, and that's a good hole to watch golf on.
All right, so I'm looking at an aerial view of the golf course, and I see the airport's not too far away.
Yeah, actually, he's looking at you. Wave.
Yeah, I'm waving.
There you go. Hey, I see you. So does the PGA Tour and the airport have a little understanding that we try not to use the runways that take the planes off and land them over the golf course?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. You know, we definitely see the occasional FedEx airplane fly over from time to time. There's actually a couple of golf courses in the area that actually have planes flying over them quite a bit. But, you know, from an aerial standpoint, we've actually been pretty good in the past with not too much air traffic.
Well, all right, so your last few champions, Daniel Berger, Fabian Gomez, Ben Crane, Harris English, back to Justin Johnson in 2012. I mean, what kind of player does this course suit? Is it a bomber's paradise? Is it a someone who's good 150 in? Is it going to require a magical putter? What are we looking for? I'm not sure I see a lot of commonality in some of these past champions.
Yeah, no, a lot of different types of golf games in those past champions. I think the guy who's playing well 150 yards in and has a pretty strong proximity to the hole that week is going to contend. You know, the tour players say that we have some of the best greens on the PGA Tour and that they love playing them. You know, Phil's been very complimentary in the last few years, which is always a feather in our cap. And, you know, so obviously a premium on putting is going to be up there as well. But I think, you know, the player that really posts a good number with proximity to the hole is going to contend and have a chance to win on Sunday.
So how does Phil feel about your OB areas?
Well, hopefully he doesn't hit into them, and, you know, we won't have to find out. But, you know, the golf course will be well marked, and it'll be a good challenge for all those guys.
Yeah, I mean, do you guys seem to relish your position being before the U.S. Open, kind of giving guys the opportunity to prep for those that want to come in and do that? Obviously, some players don't. There's always kind of a toss-up at who's going to show up. And, you know, a couple of guys have been injured this year. There's always an opportunity for a few more to show up.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, the opportunity that we've seen this year is with the U.S. Open being in Erin Hills in Wisconsin. It's in the central time zone, so it's in the same time zone as we are, and you're looking at an hour and a half to 2 hour flight to get up there. You know, so we're hoping that with the lack of time change and the easy access from a travel standpoint to get up to Erin Hills from our facility, that it would entice some of the players who normally wouldn't play in the FedEx St. Jude Classic to start considering it and maybe be a part of the field. So, you know, hopefully that kind of plays itself out, you know, as we get closer to the event, but. It'll be pretty cool to see how everything shapes up.
Yeah, I was sitting here earlier. We had a question about it, and I said I didn't think Rory was going to play until the U.S. Open, but you would think that if he does tee it up before the U.S. Open, he would go the week before. I don't know if he's going to be ready for Jack's tournament, so you might get a call and say Rory's showing up.
Hey, to have the former FedEx Cup champion, you know, playing the FedEx St. Jude Classic would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I suspect you'll have a spot for him.
Be a crowd drawer, and you know, he would definitely and add some flair to the event for sure.
All right, well, we're talking to Nick Konecki, the head golf professional down at TPC Southwind with the St. Jude Classic. We're curious, before we let you go, when you go out to the practice facility, what are you seeing? What are you getting for requests? Does everybody still want 10 or 15 yards on their drive, even though those of us who follow the game so closely would rather everyone come up and say, hey, how can I shave two or three strokes off my total game?
Right. You know, you do still get the request for more distance. Everybody loves the long ball. It's what makes golf fun and enjoyable. And you know, I'd say probably more than anything, those are the requests I get. You got your lower handicap players, your better players who are looking for consistency, and they're fun to teach as well. But you know, if you can get that 15 to 20 handicapper an extra 5 yards, that's a lot of fun and very satisfying as an instructor.
Well, awesome, Nick, man. Hey, have a great tournament. We are going to be watching on TV. All right, pick the number. What are you going to sit with your feet Ooh. With feet up on the table and an adult beverage? What's the number?
I think 10 under par.
All right.
I think it's a really good, strong number. You know, hopefully the weather plays out pretty well throughout the course of the week, and those guys have some good scoring conditions, and the golf course gets to show its teeth a little bit and hold its own. And you kind of have a good balance of the two between difficulty and some birdies coming in down the stretch. So I think 10 under par wins it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining us. We look forward to watching.
You got it, guys. Thank you so much.